Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pass goes to Jackson Davis. Spins a wave and gets a dunk coming down the baseline. Jaren Jackson Jr. overplayed him, and he made him pay.
Yeah, he overplayed him about a second earlier, and TJD didn't take the advantage. That time, he didn't miss it.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Sam Lubin, Dan DeVoe, Jersey Ken. The guy, Trace Jackson Davis, continues to be my favorite player. Just love. I love the attitude. I love the cerebral sort of approach he has to the game. Pick and roll.
Talk about fit. He's been fitting very well this year.
Good hands around the basket. Mm-hmm. He can test everything. He's a viable big body.
Knows where to go.
Just, yeah. Never out of place. I'm just a big Trace Jackson Davis.
No, I've really liked him a lot, too. There's just a lot. What I'm really enjoying in this season, and we'll talk about what makes the season sustainable in a minute, but what I'm really liking early on in this season is the TJD-Steph pairing, in that so many times, there was a moment last night, I believe it was in the third quarter, Steph noticed he had a double team on him, draws a double team away from him, and creates a wide open lane for TJD, does a quick behind the back pass to Trace Jackson Davis for the slam. You've been seeing a lot of those this year where Steph just opens up these lanes for Trace Jackson Davis and feeds him the ball there. And it's just one of the just very subtle aspects of Steph's game that I'm really liking this year, and the way he's able to get TJD involved. It's been a lot of fun early on here.
Well, you talk about the shooting by that of Draymond Green earlier in the show and why that's so vital. It's because it's often said that, listen, if Trace Jackson Davis isn't going to space the floor because there's no reason to guard him if he's out on the perimeter, and the same can be said about Draymond Green, well, that just does not give you a lot of avenues to attack or a lot of room on the floor for, you know, there's just not a lot of real estate for Steph Curry to do his thing if you have two players who you don't necessarily need to even pay attention to. And it gets even worse. And one of the reasons why I don't think Jonathan Kuminga is in that starting lineup, because Jonathan Kuminga, one of the things that he has not been able to at least do with any sort of consistency at this juncture of his career is shoot the three. And I think if you're going to play the three, that's got to be part of your bag. And although Andrew Wiggins has not shot it, didn't shoot it well last night, he shoots it better than Jonathan Kuminga and is more of a threat than Jonathan Kuminga. But as long as Draymond can step out, that's so important in terms of not only him making baskets, as you alluded to, and him becoming a better basketball player on both ends of the floor, but in terms of the overall balance. Because as we talk about Trace Jackson Davis, he's not going to give you anything from the perimeter. But if Draymond can be a threat and Andrew Wiggins can begin to hit his threes, and of course we know what Steph does, just in terms of the overall offensive approach, it's almost a prerequisite that those guys be able to step outside and be somewhat of a threat.
Yeah, and he's, you see, Kuminga, he's trying to work on that shot. It's just, yeah, 3 of 13 last night, 0 of 4 from 3 as he only is able to score 8 points. But, I mean, he's averaging about 17 a game off the bench.
He's been good off the bench.
He's been phenomenal off the bench. We make such a big deal about who's on the bench and who's not on the bench, who starts and who doesn't start. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, the reason the Warriors are off to the great start that they are this season is because of the production that Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield have had coming off the bench. Now, yeah, he probably does need to get that shot down. He does need to work on that shot a little bit more if he is going to move it over to the three spot. I think he is more of a four, though, but unfortunately Draymond's kind of occupying that, and that was, a conversation that, kind of caused some consternation among some Warrior fans early on before the season started where Kuminga plays, because I do feel like he is kind of more of a set, more fit for that four spot that Draymond currently occupies. But what do you do there? Okay, so if you have, and whatever your lineup is, let's say if it would have been Melton, or if you have Steph and Moody there as your backcourt, and then you have Wiggins there at the three, Kuminga at the four, then you got to do Draymond at the five. I don't know if having Draymond play center to start off every night is the best move, especially because I think Trayce Jackson-Davis just done such a great job out of that center spot so far to start the season. So, yeah, there's kind of a bit of a lineup crunch right now with Jonathan Kuminga, and with a very important season for Kuminga because he is a restricted free agent after this season, and you bet teams are going to throw – someone's going to throw too much money at him. And, that's a bridge to cross when we get to it. But, yeah, I just don't know how you get Kuminga into that four spot unless you have him come off the bench right now.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga continues to be a work in progress. And at some point, hopefully, we're going to get to a point and recognize some consistency and remove the potential tag. Because it seems as though we've been doing this for at least 3 years now, that we're talking about, could this be the year? Could this be the game? Could this be the stretch where Jonathan Kuminga comes into his own and becomes that number two? Because it's really vital on this basketball team. As exciting as the start is, and as exciting as the win against Dallas, the wins against Boston, all of these significant wins against OKC, and as often as we talk about how different this team looks, Steve Kerr's never given 13 guys run, a 12-man rotation. Are you kidding me? This is so different.
And it's working.
But at the end of the day, as different as they are, they're still very much the same, because it's still about, when you talk about that Dallas game as an example and how different this team is in 2024, at the end of the game, it's still about Steph and Draymond. It's still about Draymond locking you up on defense towards the end of the contest, and then Steph driving you across the finish line. So my only concern continues when we talk about sustainability as it relates to a Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors as a whole. Who's the number two in terms of scoring the basketball? If Steph, for whatever reason, blows a tire, he's played a lot of basketball, can't go, or if Steph is having an off night, who is that other person? Is it Jonathan Kuminga? Is it Andrew Wiggins? Is it somebody in-house? Because I'm not a big proponent of the trade deadline and these guys just auditioning to bring in Giannis or some big name. But in-house, if that's the focus, Jonathan Kuminga has got to take that step. And it gets to a point, I know he's only 22, but at some point you run out of patience because he's got to give you a consistent 18 to 20. And he and Wiggins are the two guys on that team that can get baskets on their own. Buddy Hield's going to come off a pin down. Buddy Hield's got to be open to a certain degree. But yeah, I know he can cross you up and step back and get a three, but he's more effective, I think, as a catch-and-shoot guy. Those guys that when it's not going well offensively and the Warriors aren't hitting threes are the two guys that can create a mid-range and can also get to the basket. So it's imperative that either Andrew Wiggins becomes the Andrew Wiggins of 2 years ago, where he was giving you 19 points a game consistently, or Jonathan Kuminga finally recognizes how to sort of score and score at a consistent level where this whole thing slows down and he's not dribbling into traffic or becoming that guy where things get sped up and he gets out of control.
Yeah, and I think it's using his physical tools to get in there. It's just, if the shot, I don't see him as having that shot. It might not ever truly develop to the point to where that level is, but
can he be your number two? Because that's the question
team,
going forward.
Yeah, because that's kind of what has to be there. It's just, it's going to be tough to be that number two if he doesn't have that jumper working. And because he can get inside and score.
I don't care how he does it. I don't care if it's the jumper. I don't care if he's doing it predominantly through a mid-range. Can he be that second option? Because right now they don't have one.
No, right now, I mean, Buddy Hield's probably the second option on this team right now. I mean, you look at when Steph was out. I mean, Buddy Hield was the one who kind of had to step up a little bit. Pod stepped up a little bit there. But for the most part, Buddy Hield has been your second option here coming off the bench. Right now, based on what I've seen, no, I don't know if Jonathan Kuminga can be that bona fide number two scoring option until he gets probably a more consistent shooting stroke there. And maybe that comes. You know, you saw it at times last year, though I just, to be honest, as much as I do like Jonathan Kuminga, right now I just don't know if he's ever going to profile as that kind of player right now. Like, if I put the over-under on All-Star games at 2, like, I think I'm probably taking the under there. If I put it at 1.5, like, he might make 1.
Are you giving him an extension?
Right now I would, but I'm not going to.
You're contradicting yourself. If you don't think he's that guy, you're going to give him $35 million a year?
I wouldn't give him that kind of money.
Well, that's the extension going on.
I know. If he wants Scotty Barnes money, he's not getting Scotty Barnes money. Right now, he is getting sixth man money at best. That's what I think he's getting right now. But if you can get that jumper going this year, though, and again, scoring has not been an issue for Kuminga. He is scoring. And again, 17 a night off the bench, tops in the league. He's obviously scoring. We know he's got some defensive ability. But I think he's too good for this team for them to just let him walk. But I don't know if he is quite good enough to get the deal that he's probably thinking that he should be getting right now.
There's scoring, and then there's scoring late in games. And that, I guess, is what it is that I'm alluding to. Who is that guy, aside from Steph? Because Steph can't drive you home every single game, every single close game, every single big game. Maybe he can, because he's that amazing. But who is the one guy that, in a nip-and-tuck affair, that when you get into these quote-unquote clutch games, that you feel confident when the ball is in his hands? You know, there's always that sort of gut feeling at the end of games, oh, the ball's in Wiggins' hands, how do I feel? Or the ball's in Steph's hand, I'm like, oh, God, okay, something good's going to come out of this. Because Steph recognizes when he gets blitzed or double-teamed, he immediately recognizes and passes out of that. You just know that he's got that in his bandwidth to do the right thing. I don't have those assurances with anybody else.
Buddy Hield?
Well, Buddy Hield is more of he's a shooter. So when Buddy Hield has it going, feed him, right? Mm-hmm. Do I feel comfortable with him with the ball in his hands towards the end of the game? It just depends on whether he's got it going that night. I'm looking for consistency. And so the question then becomes, can Jonathan Kuminga, how do I feel in the latter part of the season or in the middle of the season, will I get to a point as a fan where the ball's in Jonathan, they took the ball out of the hands of Steph Curry, and it's now Jonathan Kuminga that's got it. Can he do the right? Do I have a feeling of confidence that Jonathan Kuminga is going to get me a bucket in a close game in the waning moments?
I mean, there were times last year where we saw it happen. I mean, it was middle of the season where he got inserted in the end of that Portland game. It basically, you know, dragged the Warriors to a victory, and that kind of set up a very strong stretch for Kuminga there towards the end of the season. So, absolutely, I think he has the ability to do so. Is he the best bet right now behind Steph on this team? I don't know, maybe not right now. But again, I think right now if you need someone outside of Steph, it's probably Buddy Hield. After that, you might have to go to Kuminga in that situation. And I'm probably a little bit more optimistic on Kuminga than most right now. I've always been a big Kuminga fan. I feel like the tools he has are just too good to ignore. And I do think, honestly, you're seeing one of the big complaints I used to see about Kuminga is just the lack of feel. I do feel like he is getting more of a feel this year. Like, you're starting to see that improvement. It doesn't seem like he's out of place, doesn't know where to stand. It's just you're seeing that improvement there for him. A big problem with Kuminga is that I think we all expect him to be further along than he actually is. I mean, remember, Dan, he was drafted 7th overall. Guys who are drafted 7th overall are usually starting on day one. They're usually thrown in the starting lineup. They're getting 40 minutes a night. They're saying, go out, do what you need to do. You'll learn as you go. he never got that opportunity. He never got the opportunity to go and just play through his mistakes. He was always on win now teams. So as soon as, you know, he started to kind of, you know, make young player mistakes, he would get yanked off the floor. He didn't have that runway to play through and grow through his mistakes. And I do think that's kind of slowed his development up a little bit, but I don't think it takes away from the overall talent that he possesses.
Yeah, where would he be if he got drafted by Detroit? You know, at age 22, getting an opportunity to play
alongside like Cade Cunningham. I mean,
it's just curious, to your point, if he was to be playing every night, would we have this version of Jonathan Kuminga, or would be much further along? You know, you bring up Jonathan Kuminga. Typically, in his draft in 2021, I said this to Ev a couple of weeks back, that typically in a draft, you hit on maybe two or three guys that become stars. And usually, because the NBA draft is really risky. There's a high level of risk.
Absolutely, especially the deeper into it you go.
So think about that. What would you say that 2021 draft? I'm just going to read through 1 through 8. And it's Cade Cunningham, star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jalen Green's averaging nearly 30 a night for the Rockets, I'd say.
He's a budding star. Yes, very much an up-and-coming star.
Evan Mobley, no doubt.
Stud.
Scotty Barnes, he's hurt.
Very, very good.
But a star, got paid. Jalen Suggs, maybe not Cade Cunningham in terms of notoriety, but a very, very instrumental player.
Key piece of that Orlando
dangerous
Magic
Orlando team, which is very good.
They just need a little bit more shooting.
Josh Giddey might be the one guy that you would say is not as good as the others, but still a good player and still finding his way, and a guy that's doing well in Chicago after, of course, spending his first couple of years in Oklahoma. And then there's Jonathan Kuminga. There's Franz Wagner.
Done very good so far.
Very good. Every single one of those guys has gotten extensions, except for, of course, the number 7 pick that year in the lottery, that being Jonathan Kuminga.
But all those guys were starters from day one, were they not? I mean, you look at the minutes played of those top 8. You got Cade Cunningham's played over 5,000 minutes. He's been battling injuries, though. Jalen Green, 7,700 minutes. Evan Mobley, 6,900 minutes. Scotty Barnes, 7,500 minutes. Jalen Suggs, another guy who's been battling injuries here and there, about 5,000 minutes. Josh Giddey, 64. Franz Wagner, 7,800. Jonathan Kuminga, bringing up the rear at 4,813 career NBA minutes. He has had the least amount of time on the court out of all of his peers there in that draft. Again, a couple of those guys, Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, they've battled some health issues. Kuminga's been relatively healthy for most of his career. Problem is, he just hasn't been on the court, because that's what happens when you're buried behind, you know, multiple Hall of Famers. I mean, how many Hall of Famers have those other 7 guys, you know, shared the court with on a regular basis?
So I guess it lends towards the bigger question. I guess the answer is relatively easy if you're Jonathan Kuminga. Like, where would you want to be drafted? Because it's, I guarantee, if I go to any of those teams, say the Houston, even the Cavaliers, who weren't good back in the day when they got Evan Mobley, the Raptors are terrible, the Magic haven't been good, even the Thunder, when the Thunder took Josh Giddey, they weren't the Thunder of today, or the Detroit Pistons. Would you want to go to one of those teams, get run where you're a starter, and most likely get that extension and get the bag, get your $30 million without question, without having to deal with what it is that you're going through right now with the Warriors? Or would you want to go to the Warriors and learn how to do it the right way, learn how to win an NBA championship, and also play alongside future Hall of Famers like a Steph Curry and a Draymond Green, so that you have now in your resume, you know what it takes to win, and you also understand the subtleties of how to be a good basketball player over the duration of your career?
Well, I think, I mean, the mature answer would probably be you want to go to the team that will teach you how to win, because with winning comes more money. You know, a lot of these guys like Cade Cunningham, I mean, he's putting up a lot of great numbers. You know, he's averaging 20 points a game in his career, shooting 43%, 33% from three. Like, he's putting up good numbers, but is he ever going to play in a playoff game while with Detroit? And that's what I think you see with a lot of these dysfunctional teams that are always, you know, floundering around the lottery is, you know, Cade, he'll probably play, you know, a couple more, a little bit longer in Detroit. Eventually, though, he's going to do what a lot of superstars do. Trade me. Get me out of here. You know, you can get the money anywhere in the NBA. There's always a team out there that's going to throw a way too big bag at you. So it's about, can you find that right situation for you? Now, I do think there have been times where, Kuminga, he's had some ups and downs, and that's absolutely hurt him. There were times last year where he was just completely out of the rotation, and he was having those frustrations. He, you know, he went to the media during that playoff run a couple years ago to complain about his playing time. You know, he's complained to the media last year about his playing time. There was a belief where, you know, the dude cut his hair last year, and we're like, oh, yeah, he's about to get traded. You know, the Jonathan Kuminga doomsday
clock.
Wait,
what does a haircut have to do with the trade?
Yeah, new hair, new me, okay. New team. It's all symbolic in this league. We all got to be cryptic. I think that the Jonathan Kuminga doomsday clock was, you know, pretty close to midnight last year. And then he has that game against Portland, and it's like, oh, that's right. This guy's really freaking good. Or he can be really freaking good. So I would like to see, I would like to see Kuminga in the starting lineup because I feel like that's a chance for him to really kind of get more run and grow as a player. But again, the time to kind of grow as a player is kind of come and gone. Now it's your fourth year in the league. Like, this is kind of what you need to be right now. What he needs to be right now is that first or second guy off the bench, you know, banging around the paint, get that 17 a night. If you can't get it as a shooter, you got to have to work on that. But as of right now, use the strength that are working for you right now and just be a valuable player on this team. And that's what he's doing right now. A big reason why the Warriors are 10-2 is because he's been, along with Buddy Hield, a great force off the bench. Another guy I like him with is Kevon Looney, who we've gone, you know, almost 2.5 hours into this show, Dan. We haven't even mentioned the guy that we like to call Windex because he's always cleaning up the boards. Shout out to our guy Schleprock, obviously, with that great nickname there. The duo of him and Looney has also been fun to watch because that's great rebounding, great size there. So everyone thinks you just got to shoot the ball to succeed in the NBA. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and there's also more than one way to succeed as a basketball player in the NBA.
Skin a cat. Pete online, too, for Sam Lubman.
Why is that a phrase? There's more than one way to skin a cat.
I don't even want to know.
That's one of those things. Like, who's sitting around? It's like, guys, it's great that we did it this way, but let's come up with some other ways here that we can skin this cat.
By the way, you were talking about the new look for Jonathan Kuminga. You have got to have the best hair at 95.7 The Game. No
oh, I absolutely
about.
Do, yeah.
You know what you remind me of? So there was, I was doing a show and we tossed to you and you were at Friedman's Hardware and you were rocking the glasses. Are you familiar with PK and Big Cat? PFT?
Yeah, Big Cat. That's not Barstool Big Cat, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not Barstool, but his partner.
Okay.
And they're really good, as a matter of fact. But anyways, maybe.
Yeah, I did do the shades at the Friedman's.
Dude, you were clearance strong, salesman. Right?
I was feeling it.
That was awesome. You know,
that was
awesome
the night
look.
After Miami had beat Virginia Tech on that wild Hail Mary that wasn't a Hail Mary. So yeah, I was feeling myself that morning. So
wait, you got lucky. Virginia Tech should have won that game. I don't know how they go to replay.
Well, no, it was incomplete. The ball hit the ground. The guy came out of bounds and touched it.
No.
The ACC refs got it right.
I don't know, man. All right, go on. Thanks for the smile.
And you, no, what are you talking about? I'm being completely honest here.
Did you... I know. That, listen, let's get back to Warrior basketball, but I can't do a show with you. Because I know, and I was telling the story of... Because your name came up after the Miami win over Cal. And I'm like, well, that's why Sam went to Miami, is because mm-hmm. there was a Cal game that was played here in San Francisco. We were talking about that game. Man, I'll tell you what.
It was so hot that night.
Were you there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was
were you
a crazy
at game day?
No, I didn't get up early for game day.
Which, I mean, that was one of the best game days. Might be the best game day.
I watched it. It was a great game day. No, it was absolutely a great game day. I thought about going, but again, Dan, when you wake up at 3:30 every morning like I do, you know, doing it on a week. I mean, Lucas asked me, hey, Sam, you want to do, you know, Warriors this weekend? It was just like, Saturday's usually sleep-in day. Like, I'm usually waking up. Well, I'm up by now, but, like, I'm usually just starting my breakfast now. Like, Saturdays are sleep-in days for me, so.
Annie will be all right. Bring her down to the station like you did last time.
Oh, no, Allie's on her way. So.
Oh, Allie, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. You got the A part right. Yeah. So she's on her way right now. She's, you know, running late as she always is.
So you, Cam Ward, is just like, because I'm not in on him either.
Oh, I love Cam Ward.
Yeah, all right.
He makes some bonehead mistakes every now and then. I'll be honest, if I'm sitting at number one and I need a quarterback, I'm taking Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders.
Just one, baby.
Better hair, you or Troy Polamalu?
Oof. Polamalu only because he's probably put more work into it. I mean, he had that hair and shirt for $1 million.
How many bottles of shampoo are you going through a year?
How about this? I'll do you one better. I probably spend at least $140 on hair products.
No.
Uh-huh.
Wow, dude.
Exactly.
Is that... What's the over...
Not like monthly,
more
but like...
More or less an alley.
Oh, way more. I do way more. No, sure. Her hair is... Well, she's got different hair care... her hair care routine is so different than mine. But no, like, I would say it's $140 a month. But, like, if I had to go and buy everything at once, it would probably equate out to $140, $160, somewhere around there.
Are you blow drying it?
No, it's air dry. What you do, you towel dry it, and then you air dry from there.
All right, I want to know more. All right, we got to get to
a break. I'll give you the full routine on the other side if you really want it.
I do want to get
there's
into...
There's your tease.
Let's talk about... I want to talk about a guy. You talk about how we overlook Looney. How about Dunleavy?
Ooh, let's give Dunleavy his props. Yeah, right? I'm down.
Do that. Sam Lubman, the best hair in sports talk radio, not only in San Francisco, I'm going to say in the country. Prove me wrong, people. We'll be back right after this.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseline stops, pass in the lane, too hard off of Clark. Saved by Pajemski, a beautiful pass to Kuminga. He went behind the back going out of bounds and led Kuminga right to the rim. How did he do that?
Holy cannoli.
Great. Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Where's the holy cannoli coming from?
It's Clay.
Yeah, but that's not part, okay.
Yeah, Clay would say holy cannoli. How crazy was that pass from Pods to JK?
That was amazing.
There? That was so cool to watch.
That was amazing.
It was a good night from Pods last night.
And that pass was right on the dime, too.
Oh, dude, it was almost like, I mean, in a pass like that, you're just chucking the ball and you're hoping. Pods probably thinks, oh, no, I did that on purpose because that's just the kind of confidence that he has. But, yeah, that was just all read, react, make a play, and boy, did they make a play. It's, again, solid night from Pods. You know, not so much in the first half, but they had 2 points in that first half, but... ended up finishing with what did he end up getting? 9 overall. So
yeah, it was a typical Pods game. He's just so smart and he's rebounding. He's been a little off because he's missed some time, and I think the mask has been bothering him. He finally got rid of the mask. And I think that we talk about role players and depth. He is really instrumental.
Yeah.
But you can say that about a lot of guys.
Yeah.
GP2 is so instrumental to the success of this
absolutely.
Team.
Absolutely. But GP2 is more defensively focused, obviously, whereas Pods, it's just, I don't think the defensive consistency has really been there yet. I'm kind of curious, just like when you see these guys, what their overall ceiling is, like what their best case scenario is. Like, when I look at Brandon Pajemski, like, obviously, if you asked him, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. And like, did you hear a couple weeks ago, he did an interview with Willard and Dibbs, and they're kind of talking about, like, what do you want to do after basketball? He's like, oh, I'm going to play until I'm 35 or something like that. And then I think when I'm 40, I'll pick up baseball. And he says it in a way just like, dude, I think you actually believe this too. Like,
did you see him go yard at Oracle when he was taking
batting
practice?
I was standing right on the first base line where it happened. I was taking a video on Instagram, and the video timed out right before the ball went out. But like, I'm watching that, and he hit that home run, and I'm thinking that was probably the worst thing that could have happened, because now this dude actually thinks he can do this on a regular basis. Like, I love a guy who's confident, but like, it's almost kind of silly with him sometimes. I'll like, overly confident it is. But hey, when you're making plays like that, and then I love how he got the start in the second half too. When Lindy Waters the third went down. So I love that kind of, because what Pods isn't stuffing the stat sheet, like, I love a guy who can at least give you effort and energy out there, and he does do that. But I'm kind of curious what you think Pods' ceiling is, because I see him, like, I do think his ceiling is role player on a team that can play for a title, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm curious, like, when you look at Brandon Podziemski and his overall future, what do you kind of see from him?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he's going to be an all-star. I see him going to some all-star games. But I think he's, you know, there's certain players that you just look at the DNA and say, that guy's going to win. I don't know if he'll win multiple NBA championships. I don't know if he wins an NBA championship, because a lot of it depends on, you know, are the stars aligned, who you're playing with. But that's who you win with. Like, I think guys like that are always going to be, they're going to be so coveted because he makes, I'm getting tired of saying this, but winning basketball plays. But that really means something. And I think guys like him, it's a reason why Caruso, you know, guys who are undrafted that prove themselves as being vital, vital players. Jrue Holiday is like, you know, what the hell are you thinking, Milwaukee, when you moved him? Guys like, you win titles with Jrue Holiday. And I think you're going to win a title with Podziemski. Whether it's with the Warriors, I'm not exactly sure, hopefully. But, I mean, those are the guys that I think, at the end of the day, you really, really put an asterisk next to and say, let's go get that guy. They become sort of foundational pieces. All right, 888-957-9570. It's the last half hour of the show, so get your calls in now. Let's get out to Milbrae and check in with Eric. Eric, welcome aboard.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, hey, Eric, how you doing?
Talking about the... Pretty good. First Clay, and then the season so far, great start. Their Tuesday night just impressive. I thought the tribute by the Warriors outstanding. The Captain Clay hats was really impressive, and they gave out, got mine. I thought the tribute video was incredible overall, and overall it was a great game, and looked like Clay really, really wanted that game, and looked like Dallas was going to put that game away when he hit that 3-point shot late there. But Curry was just incredible as usual, just clutch Curry taking over that game, and you rarely see him get worked up. That was like against the finals against Celtics Curry when he hit the dagger to put him away in game 6. That's as emotional as I think I've ever seen him when he was saying, this is my effing house and this is my ass. And it was just incredible. You don't rarely see him react like that, but that place was bonkers when he hit that dagger to put them away. So all in all, it was a great game, great tribute, and more importantly, the Warriors won a great game. But as far as this team overall, I just really love what I'm seeing. I really think this defense really playing excellent basketball. And the thing is, the Warriors are winning the games they have to go. Remember last year how many games they lost to terrible teams they had no business losing to. So if they lock in and play like they are right now, I think they're really going to get set. And outside of Oklahoma City, really, I don't – and obviously Cleveland in the East, nobody's really playing as great as they are. And I just love the way they strengthen numbers right now. The way Kerr's using this roster is really great to see overall. And the guys like J.K. who are playing for contracts got a really chance to prove themselves. And Buddy Buckets has really been impressive. So they got a chance here to really get a good stretch over this next week here. So – as long as they get rolling like they are, guys, I really feel good about this team and not having to really exert Curry as much with the way the balance of the roster is really playing with Curry's minutes, distributing the minutes to different guys. So keep it going, guys, and so far so good. Better than anybody Warrior fan expected, especially me. So keep this going, and I really love what I'm seeing out of the squad so far.
Well said, Eric.
You know, one thing we got – I talked about this going into the break, but Dunleavy, man, at what point, I guess people still recognize that he's good. Maybe the jury's still out because there's still the hangover of Myers, who was a big personality and really sort of the architect and a lot of what it is that the Warriors did early on in Draymond Green and winning titles. But I would say, and one could argue, although I don't want to necessarily throw water at Myers, but the last couple of years, yeah, there was a lot of bad there too. Somebody on the text line threw out it seems as though every show there's at least one reference to James Wiseman, right? The number 2 pick overall, and that certainly didn't work out. But Dunleavy, holy cannoli.
Let's give Mike some credit. Yeah, no, he has done a great job here in his first run making all the decisions for the Warriors. I mean, the Buddy Hield acquisition is looking like one of the best moves of the offseason right now. And The Buddy.
Let me ask you, how much, because I know Buddy Hield was somebody that was coveted by Steve Kerr. How much is Kerr sort of pulling those strings? And certainly there's a collaboration.
No, they have to work in tandem there. They're definitely sitting, the way the Warriors work, they're all sitting around the room.
More importantly, how much credit are you giving to Kerr as opposed to Dunleavy?
I think it's just this is the nature of the beast, Dan. When you're the general manager, you get credit for the general manager moves. When you're the head coach, you get credit for the head coach moves. Like, is Steve Kerr banging his hand on the table saying, "Bring me Buddy Hield"? He might be, but I mean, it's on Mike Dunleavy. Like, Steve Kerr can't tell Buddy Hield to come here. Steve Kerr can't make the pitch. He can't, you know, give him the contract deals. It's Mike Dunleavy's job to sit down and say, "Hey, you know, we really want you here. Steve Kerr really wants you here." And Buddy Hield's response is, "Well, then why should I go here?" And I'm simplifying it a little bit. And then Mike Dunleavy's job is to reason one, reason two, reason three. Buddy Hield says, "Oh, well, dang, Mike, you got me. Let's do this." So that's where I give Mike Dunleavy the credit. Steve Kerr could go out and say, "I think if you give me this, we will win." Well, then at that point, it's Mike Dunleavy's job to go out and get this so that they can win. And to that regard, Mike Dunleavy absolutely did his job there, and you got to commend him for it. Also, you want to really commend Mike Dunleavy. There's the move he did make, but there's also the move he did not make, and that is there's the trade for Paul George, which I think the Warriors are going to be very happy that they did not make that trade. The Clippers did not want to do business with the Warriors there, so you can't blame Dunleavy for not making a trade that was never going to happen. But the Lauri Markkanen deal that fluttered around all summer long, you know, we took so many calls on it every day. It's, do you want him? Do you not want him? Do you trade this guy for him? That guy for him? Pods is untouchable. Kuminga's untouchable. No, Moody's untouchable. But I credit him and to sitting back and rolling with what you got, trusting the guys you have in-house to be better for the team. And it ended up being the right move, not making that move, because we're talking about, you know, the Warriors' bench depth. I believe, you know, 58 points a game is what my notes say they're doing.
Best in the NBA.
Best in the NBA. You have the best at 58.8 points in the NBA. They scored 40 points or more in 11 of the first 12 games, which is the franchise first. The reserves scored 67 last night, making it the fifth time that the bench scored at least 60 points in a game. The Warriors bench outscoring the opponent's bench in 11 of 12 games this year. That does not happen if Mike Dunleavy pulls the trigger on the Lauri Markkanen trade. And we have a little bit more of a talented player in the starting lineup, probably. But the reason the Warriors are winning this year is because of their depth. That's a big, I mean, Steph and Dre obviously are a big part of it. But Steph and Dre were a big part of things last year. How'd that work out? You got depth this year now. Honestly, Dan, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of another great trade that was not made. One of Bob Myers' earlier days, do you trade Klay Thompson for Kevin Love? And they did not make that trade. Ended up being one of the greatest non-trades, not just in Warrior history, but in Bay Area sports history, not making that move. So I'm not putting the Lauri Markkanen deal on that level, but a big part of being a good general manager, it's the moves you make, but that goes in tandem with holding off in the moves that you don't make. And Mike Dunleavy got, I believe, right now an A and an A in both of those fields this summer.
I'm curious, if we're witnessing sort of a changing of the guard, and once again, the Warriors leading the way, and here's what I mean. That the Warriors, they reinvented basketball back in 2014, 2015, right? Mm-hmm. With the way they played and its chaotic style, yep, and shooting threes, and then all of a sudden it became a copycat league, and as we know, it's very homogenous. Now everybody's doing it. And they actually, teams did it. The Warriors created the recipe, the template, and then teams actually executed it better than the Golden State Warriors in the ensuing years. And so the Warriors then find themselves on the outside looking in. But they created the small ball. They created shooting threes at this frenetic pace. Now I'm curious, are they once again leading the way? Because with all the guardrails now that you have financially with the second apron, you just simply can't go out and purchase stars. You can't. It's not like it was back in the day where you can go get three stars, which seemed to be like that was the ingredient in order to win. You needed Bosh, you needed Dwayne Wade, and you needed LeBron James.
Yeah, like
you needed Paul Pierce,
yeah,
and you needed Ray Allen, and you needed Kevin Garnett. Are we seeing a new way to do it because of the restraints and the handcuffs that you have financially, that the Warriors now are saying, okay, We have a star in Steph Curry, but we're just going to do it with a multitude of guys. We're going to take the $70 million that were allocated to two guys, Chris Paul and Klay Thompson, and disperse that throughout the Kyle Andersons and the Moses Moody's of the world. Are we not seeing that at the end of this year, should the Warriors make a run? Let's say the Warriors go deep into the playoffs, so let's say they get to the NBA Finals. Do you not think that teams are going to reassess and saying, really? Should I have re-signed Zion Williamson? Do I want Kawhi Leonard? Maybe I should rethink the way we're doing it and do it the Warrior way. The Warriors changed the way the game was played back in the day. Are they doing it once again in 2024, potentially?
I think part of the reasons why the Warriors took a step back financially this year was I do think they wanted to reset some of their cap penalties as well. Because Joe Lacob has always said that he'll spend the money if it's worthwhile to do so. So in that sense, I mean, yeah, if the plan is, we're obviously everyone wants to build internally. That's the easiest way to do it. Have the Warriors kind of created a new way of doing things? I think they've kind of rediscovered an alternate way of doing things. Because they still have two mega superstars in Steph Curry and Draymond Green. And Brian Windhorst was kind of reporting it earlier, I think it was last week, a little bit more this week. The Warriors are the favorites right now, along with the Rockets, to make a splash trade. And as long as...
Don't do it.
As long as there's struggles going on in Milwaukee, as long as Giannis is saying cryptic things, as long as Doc Rivers is Doc Riversing all over the Bucks right now, you know, the Giannis is going to be at threat of being put on the trade block.
Okay, do you want Giannis on this team?
It would depend on the package, but... Right now, if the goal is Operation Get Steph One More Ring, that's one of the best ways to do it. Now, how they go about that deal would be a factor on it. You probably have to say goodbye to Kuminga. Probably have to say goodbye to Pajemski. Probably have to say goodbye to Moody. Might have to say goodbye to Wiggins. But Steph, Giannis,
and draft picks.
And draft picks. I mean, draft picks are... I mean, the Warriors are going to have to punt draft picks no matter what. But if the goal is to get Steph one more ring, maybe even two... Like, you got to figure, you know, what's more important here? You know, do you want to get that ring for Steph, or are you kind of doing the Joe Lacob thing and you're looking light years ahead, seeing, you know, trying to plan out the post-Steph Curry years? And part of the reason why the Warriors did not make the trade for Lauri Markkanen is because they did not think that Lauri Markkanen was a good enough player to empty the coffers for and punt the future away for in terms of a short-term burst now. And I agree with him. I don't think Lauri Markkanen would have elevated them to that level. I don't know if the Warriors right now are at that championship level. They're definitely good enough. They're going to be in contention for it. But if you can make a trade for a guy like Giannis...
Don't do it.
Yeah, you're right. So you want to go hardcore strength and numbers the whole way?
Well, I'm just hard-pressed for someone to show me where an acquisition of a free agent brought you a championship. Everything is done organically. Everything is done through players that you bring in through the draft that are under team control. They're not only players that you drafted, but then financially, because, you know, like Brock Purdy, basically, to give you the football analogy. You get players that are under team control on the cheap and that are good, and they come up through your system. The Celtics won the title last year. Jaylen Brown and obviously Jason Tatum, two guys that they drafted. The Denver Nuggets, all three of their stars who won the title before that. And Jokic and Porter and Jamal Murray, all guys that they drafted. And the Warriors, obviously. I'm trying to think of a team that has mercenaries that actually won a title. And it may have happened. It's just a difficult, and it's even more difficult to do in 2024 because of the financial restraints. And if you want to tell me that Giannis at age 30 is going to be that guy where I'm now anchored to him financially and paying him upwards to, what, $40, $45 million a year, and I've just lost Pajemski, I just lost Kuminga, I just lost Trayce Jackson-Davis.
But at the same time...
And all of my draft picks for one cat is just, it's been proven that it doesn't work, and nor from an entertainment standpoint, do I buy into everything being centric around two or three players? I don't think that's the way the NBA is trending right now.
Well, I think the NBA is still kind of there right now. If you did make that move, I mean, you would be one of the better teams for the next couple of years if you had Steph, Draymond, and Giannis on this. Oh, absolutely. I mean, Giannis is 30 years old. He's still got a few more years left of his prime. You know, and more
so
importantly,
going
though,
from no depth to
But more
three.
Importantly, though, you know, if you have a chance to reset your cap penalties, You could spend a little bit more money on free agency next year. I believe the Warriors would have their mid-level available next year, as of right now, if things progress as they are right now. But you're going to become a much more attractive destination to role player free agents. What made the Warriors so great during those championship years is because they were able to get guys like David West and Zaza Pachulia, guys like that, to kind of come in on lesser deals because they want to be on winning teams. You know, Nick Young, JaVale McGee, guys like that. When you have a big three of Giannis, Steph, and Draymond, all those other free agents around the league, like, think how hard it's been sometimes for the Warriors to sign free agents the last couple of years.
You're assuming that they're going to win.
Well, yeah, if you have those three together, then you're going to say, that looks like a winning team. I want to, guys going to gravitate to those teams. You know, guys want to gravitate to the Celtics. Guys want to gravitate to the Mavs because those look like teams that are on winning tracks. So when you have a superstar lineup like that, free agents are going to want to come here. They're going to want to take less money to come here because these guys want to win. They want to get a ring, and they're going to see that, you know, we like to shame ring chasing, but does that not work?
I'm just hard-pressed for – had it worked in Phoenix when they brought Beal and Durant
on board? Durant, I think, is past his prime. Like, Durant's 36 years old. Well, the explosiveness is clearly gone.
You could say the same thing about Steph. I mean, they're about the same age.
Yeah, but I think Steph's overall – better right now
but
than
I
Kevin
guess
Durant.
Just in theory,
like, Steph's got the explosiveness that Durant has kind of been losing,
but in theory it's just never worked. I've never seen where, okay, this is, let's bring in Durant and we got Beal and we got
Booker. Well, it hasn't worked in the last few years because no one's really assembled a super team of free agents in the last few years.
But every time they try, okay, let's go back in the last 10 years. I'm trying to think of that.
I mean, the
team.
Miami Heat, obviously they did it. I mean, the Cavs... They,
well, okay, you got to remove LeBron James. LeBron James, simply because he's the greatest to ever do it. So LeBron,
I mean, when
James
LeBron was dominating
prime.
The East, no one else in the East was really assembling super teams to challenge him. I mean, the Rockets tried to do it when they paired Chris Paul and James Harden up.
How'd that work out?
Well, they ran into the buzzsaw that was the Warriors. So, I mean, can you really fault them that they fell short to one of the greatest collections of NBA talent in the league's history?
But in terms of any sort of sustainability,
I mean, the Raptors, their title was built around a one and done guy in Kawhi Leonard. That was all a free agency signing, or I think it was a trade. But that was the guy where you're bringing in one guy to build around for a year, and then he left, and that was it. The Raptors have, you know, faded out of relevancy ever since then. And even then, you could put an asterisk on that title if you're a Warrior fan because of all the injuries that happened during that series.
But if the Golden State Warriors are anywhere near this mark, then I think trading away their future and trading away their young players for a guy who's at age 30, and granted, it's Giannis, I get it, at the end of the day, to be playing alongside, because chemistry is everything, and defense, and what we're seeing is real. And so the idea, because we romanticize and we are so focused on, and I get it's a star-driven league, that the idea of bringing in a big name is going to resurrect things, and all you see is year after year where it does not work. And what it does is that it sets a franchise in arrears because of the financial burden, and also physically it doesn't work, and it implodes. And the team he's leaving is a perfect example. Let's bring in Dame Lillard. That's the missing piece. Again, it goes a lot deeper than that in terms of trying to build a winner. And the Warriors have found the ingredient. So if it comes to the trade deadline and they're still, you know, they're 25 games over 500 and one of the top seeds in the Western Conference, you're still going to pull that trigger?
I do think there's a level of let's let this play out, obviously. Yeah. And I think it's kind of, you know, if you, maybe that's a cop-out answer. But again, we're 12 games in.
No, I think that's the prudent decision.
Me personally, I've told myself I want to wait 20 games before I make any sort of determination on this game, because last year we spent 2 months prior to the playoffs talking ourselves into this belief that the Warriors, all they have to do is just get in, they can make a run. And we were all ridiculous to think that. We all were putting the cart before the horse last year. So I'm personally trying to hold off on that. But it's really hard to ignore what we're seeing right now and how well it's working. That said, I don't know if this team is truly a finished product right now.
Let's get out to Telmo in the city before we get out of here. He wants to talk
about
this.
Don't hang up on my guy, Telmo.
He's in on Giannis. What's up, Telmo?
How are you guys doing today? Here's the thing. Here's my opinion, right? The Warriors aren't in a position where they're not desperate. So they don't need to overpay for Giannis. They don't need to overpay for Giannis. They can, if the deal's there, and it's a deal that is fair. Obviously, they're going to have to give up draft picks and players. But here's the thing that every Warriors championship team has had. A second player that can take over a game if Steph isn't doing that. Klay on any given night could put up 40-50 when he was in his prime and hot. Durant could do that. You need to bring in a guy, if you have a chance to get a guy like Giannis that can show that he can go out on a given night and put up 50-60 points, you have to do that, because here's the thing. In the playoffs, this team the Warriors have, I think they're a really good team. They have a lot of depth. I think they're going to win a lot of games. But look at the Giants when they won 107 games. But then they had a team that wasn't built for the postseason. When you're going in a seven-game series against a team that has two or three stars that can go out there and put up numbers. So they're not desperate. They don't need to give up everything in the world to get Giannis. But if you can get him for a package that is fair and have a chance to put a player like him, and I know you referenced the Durant and look at the Giannis with his team and Dame Lillard, Durant, one of those guys, the common thing in all this with the Warriors is Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Those guys are winners. They're passionate. They're leaders on and off the court. Steph, I think, more than off the court in his own way. And you put a player like him with them and Kerr, and I think you really, really have the best chance to win a championship.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you're going to get Giannis, Milwaukee, he's like the only thing that's worth going to Milwaukee, aside from brats and maybe some good beer. Like, he is so important. So they know that if they're going to move away from Giannis, that they're going to ask for everything. You're not getting a deal. You're not getting a package.
Oh, that's no, absolutely. Yeah. But
we got to get out. Man, your hair is amazing. How much are you spending in products again?
140.
And when's the last time you got a cut?
About 2.5 years ago.
You know, and then you created this trend. Suddenly Ken, who's this clean-cut, good-looking guy with the, you know, the tightly cropped beard, he starts breaking out pictures of where he was like...
He had a really good flow back in the day.
He was Slash back in the day from Guns N' Roses. All right. All right, my man, Sammy Levin. We will talk again. That'll do it for Warriors this week. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, everybody. So long.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.